associative thinking would be more often coming from desire. But you can have all kinds of things trigger it all. Like you could look at the flower there, and from looking at the flower, it could lead you into something about your own garden, and then from your own garden to someone else's garden, and so going on with that type of... That's how associative thinking operates. So it's a visual thing often, but it also starts off from desires, and it's clouded by your own chief feature. If you have a chief feature, we'll say, of selfishness, well then that would be at the back of your associative thinking in a deep way. And I gave the people in Auckland recently a suggestion to try and look at the how they see, say, a thought in their head, and you then take the thought back in what they call the serpent's path, and you try and see where that thought came from, just like I was talking about the flower thing. And you keep on going back, and if you do it very diligently, and it takes quite a long while to do it, you start getting fairly adept at it, and you can go back fairly quickly, and you'll find that after a time that you see that you've only got three or four things that will start off your associative thinking. Each person got to find out their own, you see, but that's how it comes. It's a very valuable way of learning about yourself too. I think you'll find that if you try the serpent's path, after a while you start seeing your chief feature, you know, like it shows up. It'll be one of those three or four that you have. The associative thinking has to be stopped if you're going to make any real progress in yourself, in the real sense. The main reason being that the associative thinking interferes with your silence that you're hoping to get inside yourself. And if you've got the associative thinking going on all the time, there's no chance that anything real can come through, because it's blocked all the time by the associative thinking.